We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So, look, we all know that most of the people in the media, and that includes social media, the people that are in charge, they despise President Donald Trump. They just hate him. They hate him as a person. They hate him as a human being. And you know, if you listen to this show, I think he's done a good job as president. Now, he said some things that I don't agree with, but that's who he is. And there are some people that just look at him as a big mouth, brash talking New Yorker, which, by the way, there are many of those. And they just, they despise him personally. And it doesn't matter what he does as president. So many of the good things that he's done, they don't care about that. They just hate him so much as a human being that all they'll do is just rip him and say bad things about him. And now we're starting to even get into some crazier stuff being said. For instance, you know how he calls news he doesn't like fake news?
Right.
And he's blaming NBC News most recently. Them and CNN are the two worst, according to him. But he wants to look into NBC News's license. As if, like, he wants to investigate their license so maybe he could take away their license. And that's scary stuff.
Well, let's back up a second, because we have always operated under the pretense with Donald Trump that it is the deal. It's all about the deal. It is the art of the deal. It is the negotiation, meaning that he's going to start way up here and come down a couple of rungs of the ladder to get what it is he wants. So do you really think that that's where he's going, is to shut down the national broadcasting company? Yeah, sure, it's scary if it's actually for true, but I'm not sure that that's – he took a lot of NBC's money back in the day with his TV show.
Yeah, and I don't think that's what he wants to do. But when news organization after news organization continues just to say negative things about him, which they do, and even though he's getting some really good things done as president of the United States, the bad stuff, the bad press he's getting, is bothering him. I'll take it a step further, Brewster. Last week, conservative television pundit Laura Ingraham, she's on Fox News, she said she wouldn't mind the government getting involved and having some control over social media, over sites like Twitter and Facebook and Google.
Now that's scary.
That is incredibly scary, coming from someone who calls themselves a conservative. Because anybody who's a conservative wants less government in our life instead of more government in our lives. And she's saying this because of whether it's the news media or whether it's social media and the people that are in charge, they all despise this president personally. It's a personal thing.
Is it
they
possible?
Hate his guts.
Is it possible that Laura Ingraham is seeing things again?
There's a man in the prompter who has a glass. There he is. Did you see him?
But when she said that last week, I'm thinking to myself, come on, what are you saying, Laura? Look, could you imagine if Barack Obama talked about taking away a news agency's license? Or could you imagine if a liberal pundit on television, someone like Rachel Maddow, said, you know, the government should have control over social media? You know, Rachel Maddow probably believes that.
I'm not too sure she hasn't said that.
She probably believes that because the political left loves government and they think government is the answer to so many of our problems.
But I still,
when someone like me thinks, God, it's the exact opposite.
But everybody on the left is playing this. It just, I can't believe, it's like the Armageddon scorched earth policy, like this is it. The gloves are off. it's a battle with the president to the death. And I don't mean that literally, but I wonder if maybe I really do. Go back to the woman who on Inauguration Day, Trump's Inauguration Day, was just screaming, no, no. I mean, to her, this is like
one of the funniest videos I've ever seen, by the way.
To her, this is just like the long, drawn-out, ongoing end of her world as she sees it.
Well, she's not the only one. Actress Alyssa Milano is just Trump-crazed on Twitter. And meanwhile, you look at the job he's done as president. Our economy is just killing it. Our economy is fantastic. Unemployment numbers for Black and Hispanic Americans are the lowest they've ever been in history. He is getting things done, but it's their personal hatred of him.
But don't you think when he might intimate, I don't want to say, but mildly suggest something about NBC's license or something, he's just doing that, and then they go have a laugh in the evening over it?
Could be.
Because the left just starts looking for Adolf Hitler quotes and starts making memes of Hitler.
Could be, but then that doesn't explain Laura Ingraham saying, hey, she thinks government should maybe have more control over social media because all of this social media is against this particular president. That's scary stuff.
Conservative though she may be, Laura Ingraham has always had that weird look in her eye. To me, she's always had it. She still has it. I don't trust her.
And Brewster, she has said something that I've told you many times, the history of this show that we've worked together.
Don't come in my ear. Just don't.
It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So people will no longer have the New Orleans Baby Cakes name to make fun of anymore. As a matter of fact, they're no longer going to have the New Orleans Baby Cakes baseball team, as there's going to be a press conference today, and they are going to announce that they are leaving. We'll have one more year of New Orleans Baby Cakes baseball, and next year will be the last year, and then they are packing their bags, and they're going to Kansas. Wichita, Kansas. Wichita is building them a brand new stadium, and the Baby Cakes, formerly the New Orleans Zephyrs, AAA baseball team, is leaving. And before you get too sad, it looks like they will be replaced by a double-A baseball team. And if you look at this geographically, this makes sense. I mean, first and foremost, the Baby Cakes have to be losing money. They have to be. I can't imagine them making, and if they are making money, I can't imagine them making a lot of money. I mean, no one, and I mean no one, goes to those games. The only time there are people in the stadium is when they pretty much give away beer on Thursday nights, or they have fireworks after the game on Friday nights for the kids.
Or the most people I have ever seen there for a game when they were the Zephyrs was on a military appreciation night. People do react to that. They do respond to that.
And they do that once in a while. But other than that, I mean, literally, yeah, there are days where there are literally less than 100 people in the crowd.
Easy.
Because
I went to one of the noon games, one of the 12 o'clock games back in April or May. There couldn't have been 100 people there.
And there had to be more people there who worked for the baseball team or worked for the park.
Or concessions.
Yeah, than actually paid for a ticket. And look, you can kind of understand why, because players come and go and we never get to know any of the players. It's minor league. It doesn't matter if they win or lose. It doesn't matter.
Mrs. Brewster and I were talking about this, and of course you're a huge baseball fan. I'm a big baseball fan. She's becoming a baseball fan. And the problem here is I don't know how they market it in a lot of other areas, that being minor league baseball. But it's hard Look, this comes down to a couple of things, and I'll give you one of them now and come back to one of them. The only baseball that people care about here is purple and gold. That's LSU. And it's in the early spring before it gets to be 900,000 degrees. And that's another reason why people aren't going out to Zephyr or Cake, whatever you call it.
It's pretty rough. And
hang on. The other thing is you can't market this as come see tomorrow's stars, you know, now soon to be appearing for your Miami Marlins. No one cares about the Miami. You know, there are more people here, and you know this to be a fact. There are more guys here that care about the Red Sox and the Yankees than there are the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, and look, nobody in Miami cares about the Miami Marlins.
No,
it's going to take them a while to get they play in an empty stadium as well.
I think it's too hot. I think it's too hot. It's just too hot to go.
What really costs them, besides all of the stuff we're talking about, is the fact that they're in the Pacific Coast League and they have road trips that take them to Washington State, California, way out west.
Right.
And those road trips financially are really whacking the owners of the New Orleans Baby Cakes. Now, the team that's going to replace them, a Double-A team.
Well, now,
I want to say Double-A is where all of the future stars are. Triple-A, it's not like it used to be. Years ago in baseball, it used to be Triple-A was where the last place that the major leaguers would go, and then they would go on to the major league. It's not like that anymore. Double-A is where they go. Triple-A basically is a lot of older guys who, you know, baseball teams, the big league teams, if they just need someone to fill in for a couple of games or maybe a week, they'll go to their Triple-A and they'll grab them. But all of the big stars seemingly these days play at the Double-A level.
But see, there's some controversy here because from what I'm seeing, if you dig deeper into this and you can either go to the Wichita Wingnuts, and that is the team we're talking about here.
And you thought Baby Cakes was a stupid name.
Well, hopefully it won't be the Metairie Wingnuts or the New Orleans Wingnuts. Hopefully they'll come up with something.
I think they're buying the name Baby Cakes.
But really?
Yeah, I think the name
Seriously.
Goes with the team. Yeah.
They don't really appear to be a Double-A team. They are in the American Association of Independent Professional Baseball.
No, they're not a Double-A team when they're in Wichita.
Right. They have no Major League Baseball affiliation. They are not part of Major League Baseball. So that's a problem here, too.
Well, wait a minute. The Marlins announced they're moving their Triple-A team to Wichita. So the team that moves from Metairie to Wichita is still going to be the Florida Marlins Triple-A team.
Miami Marlins.
The Miami Marlins
Triple-A
team.
But you didn't hear what I said.
Yeah, I hear what you said.
We're not getting a Double-A team. They are not a Double-A team. They are in the American Association of Independent
Baseball.
That's
not the team we're getting. There's going to be a new team, and we're going to play in the league that where Pensacola has a team. I think, does Biloxi have a team in that league? It's going to be a local, it's a team added.
All right, then some organizations are misreporting this then because they're intimating that it's a straight-up trade.
No.
Okay. And I don't mean trade like trade, but
no,
we're
going to get a team that's a Double-A team that's in the same league with Pensacola and whatever league
is. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, they can take road trips on buses instead of going to Washington State.
Exactly. And I don't know if you have like a brewing rivalry with the Pensacola Blue Wahoos or the Biloxi Shuckers, but it's Mrs. Brewster and I have been to a game at MGM Park in Biloxi, and it's a great ballpark, and it's good fun.
Well, that's the league that they're going to be in, and they should come up with a different name for their team.
Yeah, hopefully start fresh. And
yeah,
I
don't think you want Baby Cakes. I, even though they say they're in the top 10, and they have been in the top 10 ever since they changed the name to Baby Cakes from Zephyrs, they say they've been in the top 10 in minor league baseball
merchandise
selling of their logo,
right,
and the hats and shirts and things like that.
And we talked about it on the show the day that they made the merchandise available. They apparently had their best selling day ever. People went nuts for it.
Yeah, so we'll...
I still see it as an outside ownership group coming in and not understanding that baby cakes doesn't mean anything. You know, you could have king cake babies, you could have king cakes, but yeah.
Wichita is getting a new $80 million stadium complex. That's what lured them. And it'll be ready in 2 to 3 years. So we'll have one more year of the baby cakes to go do that. And then a brand new AA team. Again, I don't know who the parent team is going to be. But the goal is to get in that local league there. And have a AA baseball team. And you know, I'm a big sports fan. I love most sports, and I enjoyed going to baseball games when it wasn't too hot out there in Metairie. I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed seeing live baseball, and I think this will be good. Again, we'll have one more year of the baby cakes, and then they leave, and then hopefully there won't be a year off in between when we lose the triple A team and get the double A team.
That would be a killer, because some hockey organizations in the former East Coast Hockey League had that happen. Well, we're going to take a year off and then we'll come back, and they don't come back.
I remember when we had minor league hockey here in New Orleans when they played at the auditorium, which has been boarded up since Hurricane Katrina. It's like a really old, historic crack house now.
And they played for a time at the then New Orleans Arena, and well, we've talked about that.
Yeah,
in the
minor
past,
league hockey rules.
Well, it's the best, but certain people came along and said, "Oh no, you can't have concurrent. You can't have two winter sports playing in that same building." Although it happens all over the country all the time.
Yeah.
I miss the New Orleans Brass. That was great fun.
So you got one more year of baby cakes. So I don't know if that's going to do anything for the attendance, you know, unless they have pretty much they're giving away beer or selling them for $1 or $2, whatever they did, because that's what used to fill the place. And that's that. All right. Coming up on the show, a guy we talked about earlier in the week, that guy in Slidell that was serving life in prison for stealing a couple of things. He's going to be released from prison. Give you the details on that coming up. We were talking about that the other day. A crazy sentence he got. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You know, a lot of people fly in airplanes. And so the story that broke yesterday, many of us can relate to, and it's horrifying. There was a plane that left Dubai. And by the way, Emirates Airlines, which is one of the most luxurious airplanes. They have like the coolest first class suites. They have small bedrooms on their planes. And as a matter of fact, the plane yesterday that was flying from Dubai, it was a double decker plane that holds over 500 people. But people that were on the lower level of the double-decker plane. The plane had to land at John F. Kennedy Airport in New York City because there were a bunch of people who got sick, and they were only on the lower level of the Emirates airline plane. 11 ended up going to the hospital, 11 people, but there were dozens of sick passengers. They said something went around that first level of that airplane, and you know, if you're one of those people that are kind of freaked out by germs and freaked out by being trapped in small places with just tons of sick, filthy people, it's one of the things that could give you a nightmare. It was a nightmare at 40,000 feet. And now they're saying that they...
Don't you like how my first reaction is to laugh?
they say that those people, many of them were sick when they got on.
Well, see, that's the whole
airplane
thing.
In Dubai.
I don't fly a whole lot, but here recently I've come to fly more often and with fewer gaps in between flights. In fact, we're flying out this weekend, Friday, tomorrow. It is very rare that I can make a flight and not get sick, because it's a teeming cesspool of germs and sick babies and people coughing and gagging and hacking and sneezing. And then you have the stale, stagnant air, and they never clean the filters. And so you turn that thing on above you because it's always so hot in the airplane, like I find. And it's just a steaming cesspool of disgusting microorganisms and filth and muck and mire blowing right in your... I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
Well, yesterday, this is a 14-hour flight, and as soon as this flight started, passengers were getting sick. They were running to the bathroom, spewing vomit.
It's like a party at your house.
And out of the bathroom. This went on for 14 hours. And you know who was on the upper half of this double-decker airplane and didn't get sick?
That United lady that's on every flight.
No, Vanilla Ice. And he video recorded it, and he said, man, people downstairs are getting sick, and they're throwing up. And so the plane, when it landed at Kennedy Airport in New York, it was quarantined on the tarmac.
Much like his career.
Yeah, for a while it was quarantined.
This is my God!
People were coughing and spreading germs.
Just like every other flight I've been on.
They said it was everywhere. One woman said at least 50% of the people in the lower level, the economy class, were sick. You could feel the people coughing.
I can feel it right now.
That is a nightmare. Again, you know, flying, I always say before 9/11, but especially before 9/11, when nothing goes wrong, flying is a good experience.
Not had that be the case.
Oh, but ever since 9/11, and now you got to take an hour to get through that. I mean, the whole thing. I miss the days when you could be dropped off outside of your airline, outside of the building, 15 minutes before the flight, and you could still make your flight, no problem.
And you wouldn't even have to put out the cigarette that you're smoking. You just get right on board the plane.
9/11 ruined all of that. And then something like this happened yesterday, and it's just... It shows you how fast germs can travel in just a small, closed-off area. That's an absolute nightmare. And I don't know what Emirates Airlines, I don't know if they're taking any responsibility. I don't know if they're just blaming people that got on the flight in Dubai that they were already sick. But I don't know if that's something that the airline, I don't know, that's not their fault, is it?
Well, they have to. It's their name over the shingle, so they'll be handing out free drink coupons, I'm sure, to all these affected folks.
It's not like when you're sitting there and the guy next to you whips it out and starts pleasuring himself and the airline, the stewardesses do nothing, the flight attendants do nothing. You know, then they should throw you an extra flight or something like that.
Right.
But in this situation, I don't see how it's really the airline's fault.
Mm.
All right, coming up on the show, I want to get to this story that we talked about a few days ago about the guy who's serving life in prison in Louisiana for
life.
Yeah, because he stole a couple of things in St. Tammany Parish. Well, he's going to be released. We'll tell you the details, the latest on that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So a couple of days ago on the show on Tuesday, we were talking about this guy that got sentenced to life in prison, this young father. And we were talking about how, boy, if you commit a crime, you better commit it in Orleans Parish or New Orleans and don't commit it in St. Tammany Parish. They have the nickname St. Slammany for a reason. You know, so many times in New Orleans you see a guy get in trouble, a guy get arrested for shooting somebody. People get shot here every day. And then when the cops find him, like this 22-year-old guy, and he's already been arrested like 12 times, and you see that over and over and over again, and you're wondering, how in God's name was he walking the street? That's why they came up with that term, the revolving door of justice on the corner of Tulane and Broad. That doesn't happen in St. Tammany Parish. You rob one car in St. Tammany Parish and you get caught, you're gone for 20 years. And you're lucky if it's only 20 years. Well, this particular guy, Patrick Matthews, he was a young father, two little kids. He was 22 years old in 2009, and he was sentenced to life in prison. What did he do? two theft convictions in 2009 for stealing tools from a shed in Slidell. Plus, he stole a generator and a welding machine, each worth $750. Because he stole that stuff, it made him a four-time felony offender. And that is the mandatory minimum that I was telling you that I don't like when a judge is forced to hand out the mandatory minimum sentence. This guy stole four things in his life, and he got sentenced to life in prison at the age of 22. Nonviolent. And I was telling you how ridiculous I thought that was. And sure, I thought the guy should have done some jail time. I mean, he stole some stuff, and he should have definitely done some jail time. But life? Well, we talked about that on Tuesday because on Wednesday he was going into a court to see if he could get resentenced or his sentence shortened or whatever. Well, the judge said that he's going to release this man, Patrick Matthews, who was serving a life sentence for burglary. And I thought that that was smart.
He's
by
going
the
to
judge.
Release him.
Yes.
Okay.
He's going to release him. He should be released within the next 120 days, unless a state court resentences him. And I agree with this. Again, I thought the guy should have done some jail time, but to sentence a young father, a 22-year-old guy who has two little kids, to sentence him to life in prison because he stole a few things was just absolutely crazy. And because each of the things he stole evidently were worth at least $750, that made each of those charges a felony. And if you're a four-time felon, especially in St. Tammany Parish, that's life. See ya without parole. And it was, and that's why I'm not a fan of the mandatory minimum sentences.
As Sean Connery would say, you're going in for all day, pal.
Hey, you see who's back in the news for trying to get somebody else out of prison? Kim Kardashian. She showed up again at the White House the other day, and she said...
So they haven't fixed the hole in the security gate, is what you're saying?
No, she showed up over there, and remember, she went there once before, and she got this woman out of prison. She was in for life for dealing drugs, and she was a nonviolent criminal, and it was a pretty ridiculous charge that they threw her in prison for life for. Well, Kim Kardashian went back the other day, because there's another guy who's in prison for life for a pretty ridiculous judge rap, for a pretty ridiculous sentence for marijuana, which is now legal in many states. They sent him away for life. And now Kim Kardashian is trying to get that guy out of prison. She said she has a friend in the White House with Jared Kushner, who is the son-in-law. He's the one who's married to Ivanka, the hot daughter.
But while Kim Kardashian is doing all of this, who is attending to her? She really has nothing to attend to, does she? She doesn't do anything.
Nah,
she's
pretty
famous for being famous.
Pretty cool life if you can get it. And it looks like she's going to...
I'm working on it.
She's going to get a second person who was sentenced to life in prison without the chance of parole. As a matter of fact, the guy who she's trying to get out of prison now, when the judge sentenced him a few years back, the judge resigned and quit after he sentenced him. It was another mandatory minimum sentence that he was for. The judge had no control over the sentence because he had been arrested for weed three or four times. And I guess they were all felonies, and the judge, when he sentenced him, he said, I have no choice. It's mandatory minimum. This is the sentence I have to give you. And then right after he sentenced that guy to a life in prison, again, for marijuana, nonviolent crime, after that judge sentenced him to prison for life, he then resigned. He said, I can't continue to be a judge here. I can't continue to do this if I'm sentencing people to life in prison for something so ridiculous.
Right.
So,
so his conscience got to him.
Yeah, but isn't that something? And again, that's why I don't like the mandatory minimum. And there's mandatory minimum sentences all over the country. And, you know, sometimes, like the guy who we talked about in Slidell, he stole a generator out of somebody's garage. He stole something else out of somebody's garage. And then he went to...
Thou shalt not steal.
Yes, he should have done jail time, but not life.
Life?
For a 22-year-old young father, you know, you want to send him away for 5 years, 10 years. All right, that's one thing. But life without parole? It is something. Now, I guess Kim Kardashian has a new, at least she has something to do. And I mean, she's always, like, she's a multi-gazillionaire, and I know we make fun of her.
Well, I do. You don't. You treat her with the greatest of kid glove reverence. You follow her with slobbering obedience.
Brewster, she makes
you're
about,
part of the problem.
Brewster, she makes about $70 million a year, and that she's not even the richest sister in her family. And I know.
Can you imagine how much? I can only imagine how much devotion you would give to her if she was actually. She actually did something talent-wise.
Well,
she's famous for being famous.
Well, no, she's what made her, and not only her, her mother and all of her siblings rich, was the sex tape she made with the black guy, with the rapper, because her mother then took
which
that,
I've heard is not even very good.
Her mother then, with the guy named Ray J, her mother then took that sex tape and then leaked it, and then it's her mother is the reason why she got to the next level. It was the sex tape that everybody
but
it was because her mother boosted it from her and then leaked it to famous people.
But
that's why she got rich.
But I think it may be time for another sex tape because that was, what, 10 years ago?
She doesn't need to do one now, though. Yeah, and I know that bothers a lot of people.
It bothers me.
That her and her sisters, they don't really have a talent for anything. But boy, oh boy. Each one of them is richer. The youngest one is richer than all of them for her makeup line.
Which one is it that I say is OJ is Courtney? OJ is Courtney's father. Or
yeah,
Chloe.
The big one.
Courtney.
Chloe.
Chloe.
Yeah, the big one.
Google OJ face and Chloe face and thou shalt not steal.
No, we all know that Chloe, the big one, does not have the same father as Kim Kardashian.
Right, because it's O.J. Simpson.
Or the other Kardashian.
That's right.
But it's not O.J.
Yes,
Simpson.
Yes, it is.
It was a hairdresser of the mother's years ago.
That's what they want you to think. See, you bought into it. That's what they want you to think.
You think Khloe Kardashian looks like O.J.?
Yes, and that's today's O.J. update. Just Google it. Or Alta Vista, whatever you're using.
No, and I know it bothers some people that all of them are so rich, but to me, it's incredible how one is richer than the other, and boy, oh boy.
Well, there you have it.
No, but hey,
the Kardashians, boy, oh boy.
Well, so she's getting a guy. She's trying to get another guy out of prison, and then this guy in Slidell is going to be getting out of prison, the guy we talked about a couple of days on the show, which... And I'm no fan of mandatory minimum sentences.
I know, but you need to stop being part of the Kardashian problem. You're part of the problem.
The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So tonight, there's something, the very first annual Porn Hub Awards are tonight.
Well, what are you going to wear?
I'm not.
You going
not.
Tux? You going
no,
string tie?
No, I'm not going. But I just saw they're doing something new now. They have porn awards, and I think every year in Las Vegas they do something with the porno industry. Mm-hmm. But this is new. It's the very first annual Porn Hub Awards. They are tonight. Stormy Daniels was not nominated for anything. She's very disappointed. She says she got screwed. So we'll see what happens there. But that's something porno and awards. Huh?
Yes, we'll have reacts from that tomorrow. That's what they say in broadcasting now. Not reaction. We'll have reacts.
Yeah, something brand spanking new. Mm. How about that? All right, coming up next, we will look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford.
Now, well, actually not now, but later this morning, if you'd like to have a chance to win a pair of black and gold tickets to see the home opener in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome this Sunday, be listening, well, we'll say during the 9 o'clock hour. How about that?
Cool.
If you have to call in sick to do so, we'll write you a note or something. We'll take care of it. But we will be blowing out not only that pair of tickets for this Sunday's game, but for every home game in the Superdome this season. How about that?
That's awesome, and I'm very excited that football's actually starting tonight. And most people around these parts are rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles to take out the Atlanta Falcons as football starts tonight.
So it's – now, wait a minute. Let's get this straightened out. So it's Thursday night football, but it's with the Sunday night football crew. Is that right?
Yeah, that's how they do it every year.
Right, because it's Thursday night football was CBS and the NFL Network. Is that right?
That's what it was, yeah.
But then didn't they say that Fox was going to come along and do some Thursday night games?
Starting this year, yes. But not this week.
What would happen if we would just play them all at once?
They all have great songs. I love all of those songs.
I say play them all.
Yeah, every one of those songs gets you in the mood for football. I hear those songs, I hop off my couch. They're running
all
around
right,
my living room.
That's enough.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited that the NFL starts again tonight.
Yes.
All right.
Thought I would try that. It didn't work, so let's move on.
All right, it's time to look at today in history, and on this radio show, we call the segment...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
September 6th.
September 6th.
It was today in 1997.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
About 2.5 billion television viewers watched Princess Diana's funeral. Now, I know Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, not a princess, but a queen, and John McCain, the former senator, they both had week-long funerals last week, and nowhere near 2.5 billion people watched on television. Although CNN and the rest would have loved it if that was the case.
I wonder if they actually do track ratings on things like that. It's a bit maudlin, a bit morbid, but...
Which funeral do you think would have gotten more ratings if they tracked the ratings? Aretha Franklin, she was a queen, the Queen of Soul.
Right.
Or John McCain, who was a senator for 36 years.
I don't know. I think you would have to... I really don't know.
All right. September 6th, it was today in 1997.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
About 2.5 billion people around the world tuned into television broadcast to watch that funeral of Princess Diana, the Princess of Wales. Do you realize that if she wore her seatbelt, she'd probably still be alive?
Yes.
Because she died when she got in a car accident because paparazzi, they were always chasing her around.
Sure.
She was in that tunnel over right. there in France. And
I mean, no one can say with a total degree of certainty that she would have survived, but that was a bad crash. If you go back and look at the photos of that.
Mm. And since that happened today, 21 years ago in 1997, it was also the day that Elton John performed the rewritten version of his old song, Candle in the Wind.
Right.
He changed a few of the words around, because he said that she was the people's princess.
Right.
And so he rewrote his old song.
Which I'm not really, I mean, yeah, Sir Elton John can do whatever the hell he wants whether he contacts me or not. But I didn't really like... You know, I'm a huge fan of that album, the double album, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah.
And I just, I just didn't. I still don't like it. I think he should have written a new song.
Yeah, the original song was written about Marilyn Monroe.
Correct.
And so he wrote the updated song, and he performed it in Westminster Abbey, and they said Westminster Abbey over there in London had never seen a performance quite like that one Elton John gave today, right, back in 1997.
I know Sir Thomas A. Becket had a piano recital there back in the day, several hundred years ago, but it was nothing like Elton John at Princess Diana's funeral.
How about that? September 6th, it was today in 1966.
Why today doesn't suck.
The architect of apartheid was assassinated. South African Prime Minister Hendrik Verwoerd is stabbed to death by a deranged messenger during a parliamentary meeting in Cape Town over there in South Africa. And we all know the history of the apartheid there. Not good. You see what's going on now in South Africa? They're killing white people.
I haven't followed it, no.
They're killing white people and they're taking their farms. They're saying this is their reparations. And that's happening over there right now. September 6th. It was today in 2007.
Why today doesn't suck.
Volkswagen moves to Virginia. Volkswagen of America announces that it's moving its headquarters from Auburn Hills, Michigan. Boy, just more auto leaving the Detroit area. And they moved it to Herndon, Virginia.
Yeah, that, of course, would be their North American headquarters.
Yeah, because when you think Volkswagen, you're not thinking made in America. But, hey, a lot of them are. They're made in Herndon, Virginia.
Since then, I think a lot of them are made in Mexico, but... I mean, they could still have their headquarters there, but I know final assembly on many of them, at least at one point, was in Mexico.
September.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, that may be the date that they moved, but there could be movement since then.
Yeah. Well, it was a big deal for people that lived in and around Herndon, Virginia,
sure,
because there's a bunch of jobs. Anytime something like that shows up in town, hey, that's great for the economy.
Right.
Oh, I remember this. September 6th. It was today, 6 years ago, 2012.
Why today doesn't suck.
That suburban Chicago former police officer Drew Peterson is convicted of killing his third wife. He probably killed his second wife, too, and they're not sure about others. That got a lot of national headlines. It was a town just outside of Chicago. This guy, Drew Peterson, was a cop there. But he was found guilty in the 2004 murder of his third wife. And remember that? He used to play to the cameras, and when the cameras were on him, they were following him around his house, and he would always talk to the cameras, and he would say, hey, we're looking for these people, but it was him.
Right.
And he's in jail now for the rest of his life. Now, that is an appropriate jail sentence, unlike some of the... mandatory minimums that we've talked about on the show before, like that guy in Slidell and others.
Mm-hmm.
Those nonviolent drug people, Kim Kardashian, she's trying to get another one out of prison. How about that?
You were part of the problem.
That was
you and the Kardashians.
That was a news story. She actually was in the White House yesterday meeting with Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. She has an ally in the White House.
She has an ally on this show, and it's not me.
Hey, we have a couple of celebrity birthdays. I know you're a fan.
Hit me.
Happy birthday to former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. He's 56 years old today.
And you don't want to say he's... Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was the setup. Go ahead.
No, but if you like him and you want to send him a gift, I know he likes bacon.
Mm.
So. And happy birthday, sharing a birthday with him, is the new singer for the band Alice in Chains, William Duvall.
Mm-hmm.
Talented guy. You know,
he
sounds
good.
A lot like Lane Staley, and he also plays guitar as well.
But he's a talent above and beyond that. He's not just a Lane Staley
super talented guy.
Yeah.
And not only is today his birthday, just the other day they released a brand new album, brand new Alice in Chains music. is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always liked Allison Chains. I always thought they were one of the best.
Important date this is, September 6th, in music history, such as...
What do you got over there?
Well, I got one screen here, so hang on. It was on this date, September 6th in 1965.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The Rolling Stones began recording Get Off My Cloud at RCA Studios in Hollywood. That's a bit of a surprise. The Stones were recording in Hollywood in 1965. The song would reach number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart 2 months later.
They recorded all over the world.
Yeah.
When you look at where their albums were recorded.
It was on this date, September 6th, 1968, 3 years later.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
One of the most iconic guitar solos in recorded history, that would be Eric Clapton laying down the licks on the Beatles' While My Guitar Gently Weeps, while George played along the classic chord progression on that song. Sad news on this date, September 6th in 1990.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
That's when Tom Fogerty, brother of John Fogerty, CCR Creedence Clearwater Revival guitarist. He died due to complications of AIDS acquired from a blood transfusion.
Oh, wow.
Sad news there. It was on this date, September 6th in 1970.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Jimi Hendrix performed his final concert when he appeared at the Love and Peace Festival on the Isle of Fehmarn, Germany. That would be the Love and Peace.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
Love and
I'm
peace.
Warning you with peace and love.
He's warning
I have
me.
Too much to do. So no more fan mail.
Nothing.
Thank you. Thank you. And no objects to be signed. Nothing.
Thank you.
Anyway, peace and love. Peace and love.
Thank you.
I wonder what a Ringo Starr autograph is worth.
And finally.
Especially now that he refuses to sign.
At least finally in the world of rock and roll. September 6th. Happy birthday. Born on this date in 1944.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The visionary of Pink Floyd, Roger Waters, with a birthday today, September 6th.
Mm. And finally, September 6th, it was today in 1995.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Cal Ripken breaks the record for consecutive games played. 2,131, which is incredible, and I think that record will never, ever be broken. I mean, never once did he have a cold, or maybe he did, he played through it.
No.
Never once did he jam his thumb in his car door when he was getting out of the car.
No, you're missing the point. Having lived there for 4 years and seeing many Cal Ripken games, he most certainly had a cold. He most certainly played not only hurt, but completely banged up. Maybe not a thumb in the car door, but strains, sprains... contusions, big strawberries where he'd get hit by the ball. No, he absolutely did play through all that. It's not that he didn't have injuries. He played through the injury.
You do the math. They play 162 baseball games every year. He played in 2,131 consecutively. That record will never, I don't even think it'll ever come close to being broken.
Not at all. And he didn't back into it by starting the game and taking one at bat and then coming out. He didn't, he played nine innings. If they had nine innings to play, he generally played them all. And what an iconic scene where he is just circling the outfield, circling around the stands at Camden Yards in Baltimore, high-fiving, congratulating, accepting congratulations, I should say. Handshakes.
September 6th. And that's a segment on this show that
we call...
Yeah. Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right. Coming up, there was a rock and roll divorce that was just recently announced. And boy, oh boy. Boy, if you think it's a man's world, whew, wait till you hear what this rocker had to pay his now ex-wife. That and a guy from Wagamon just had an incredible night out. Stay tuned for those reports coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Did you know September is National Childhood Obesity Awareness Month? Many of our kids are so fat.
How fat are they?
Teenage boys are happy just to get in their own pants. You know, as a matter of fact, according to a new study, they say one-third of American children are either overweight or obese by the time they're 9 months old. I was in Walmart the other day, Brewster. I saw this woman pushing a baby stroller, and the baby stroller was beeping as it was backing up. A baby stroller! And Pampers now come in big and tall sizes. I know, so that's what we
that's three for Thursday, ladies and gentlemen.
We've got to work on it. Hey, coming up next, a very expensive rock and roll divorce. Stay tuned for that here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So whoever says it's a man's world, that's not always right.
James Brown said that. He said, it's a man's world!
Because a big rock and roll divorce just was finalized the other day. And one of my favorites, Slash, from Guns N' Roses. You know, he's one of those guitar players that as soon as he starts playing, because of his tone, you know who it is. You know, a lot like Eric Clapton. And that's not easy for a guitar player to do, because there's a zillion guitar players.
I just never get past the hat. I just don't get the hat and the sunglasses.
Well,
never understood it.
But
that's just me.
He's one of those guys that as soon as he starts playing, you know exactly who it is. And again, that's not that easy to say for guitar players, because there's so many of them out there. But he's always been one of my favorites. What people don't realize, he grew up in Beverly Hills. He actually went to Beverly Hills High School.
Like 90210.
Yeah.
Right?
He was in there around the same time as Lenny Kravitz, and there were a few others. But you would never know by looking at him, because as soon as he got out of that high school, he didn't cut his hair, and then he just kind of slummed it on Sunset Boulevard down the street there. And they lived in pretty porous conditions before he actually made it. And there are lots of stories about how Guns N' Roses, how they lived their lives and where and what they were doing as they were trying to make it. But anyways, guy's name is Saul Hudson. And his divorce was finalized the other day. He has to pay his ex-wife $6.6 million. But the good news is that he gets to keep his 221 guitars, and they're valued at $2 million. That's what he was worried about. I guess his wife, her name, Perla Farrar, and they had been married for a while. But he had to write a check for $6,627,352. Now, listen to this. That's not all, Brewster. He has to pay $39,000 a month in child support, and he has to pay her $100,000 a month in spousal support. So the $6.6 million wasn't good enough. He's got to pay this woman $100,000 a month spousal support, and then on top of that, another $38,000, $39,000 a month for child support.
Well, there goes those guitars.
Good thing Guns N' Roses, well, a lot of the original guys got back together a couple of years ago, because they've been touring for a couple of years, and they're making gazillions of dollars. But can you believe that? As if this, if I'm Slash Saul Hudson, I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, so $6.627 million isn't enough. On top of that, I've got to pay this woman $100,000 a month in spousal support. And then on top of that, oh yeah, for the kid, $39,000 a month. It's pretty expensive baby food. But I guess, you know, they live in up in the Hollywood Hills or Beverly Hills or somewhere in the hills above Los Angeles. Hmm. And that's what he's paying this woman. They were married. They've been married. They were married about 16 years. So they were married for a while. Do you know what the most expensive guitar Slash owns? And I believe I think it might be the one that you might have heard, or something, the one you heard on the classic Guns N' Roses albums. It was either this guitar or it was a knockoff of this guitar, because you know, obviously, when they were making Appetite for Destruction, he didn't have any money.
Right. Well, he's probably, I would say, most iconically photographed playing a sunburst Les Paul. But he's in with BC Rich, too, so I'm not sure. Tell me.
Well, the first thing you said, he's a big Les Paul guy.
Probably like a 1959 Les Paul.
A 1959 Gibson Les Paul standard flame top. It's worth $375,000. But I guarantee you the guitar he played on Appetite for Destruction, which is great guitar, because he didn't have any money when he was making that album. That was their first album, Guns N' Roses.
Right.
The guitar he used on that was probably something close to that, the Gibson, the 59 Gibson Les Paul. It was probably a knockoff or something close to that.
Right. Technology-wise, the difference between a 1959 Les Paul and a 2018 Les Paul produced in, the solid bodies are made in Nashville. The hollow bodies are made in Memphis. The acoustics are made in Montana, by the way.
How about that?
The technology and the materials today are second to none, but yet those they're called drawing a blank here, but the 19
they were made those, in the mid 50s to late 50s.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's
early,
something about those
60s,
guitars, something
just,
about the wood.
Well, it's just something about how the wood cures, and there's just nothing like them. It's like just running your hand, just pouring honey over your hands. And just letting it drip all over the place.
And those seem to be worth the most money. But who is saying it's a man's world?
And James Brown said that when he said, it's a man's world!
And Slash now, that is incredible. You would think over $6.6 million would be enough in a divorce settlement. Oh, no, and on top of that, you got to pay $100,000 a month in spousal support. And then $39,000 a month on top of that in child support. I'll tell you, those Guns N' Roses reunion tours better keep going on. I'll tell you that right now. That's something. All right, coming up on the show, I got to tell you about the night this guy in Wagaman had. You think you had a bad night or bad day recently? Wait till you heard what happened to Rodney Davis of Wagaman. Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock.
Don't forget now, during the 9 o'clock hour, between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m., a chance for you to win a pair of Saints tickets to see Tampa Bay, the home opener in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
Well,
we'll give those away, not now, but between 9 and 10.
To see the Saints. I mean, Tampa Bay just happens to be the team.
Right. What did I say?
Not gonna. You said to see Tampa Bay. No, we're going to see the Saints. Tampa Bay just happens to be the lame team coming in.
You know, if you're going to split hairs, I'm going to piss off.
With their backup quarterback, too, because Jameis Winston, their starting quarterback, he's missing the first four games because he groped a female Uber driver.
Was that wrong?
How about this? Wagaman man accidentally shot girlfriend and himself during argument. I don't think I've ever seen that before. A Wagaman man was arrested and booked with negligent injury after he accidentally shot his girlfriend and himself in the process.
Got him right in the process.
46-year-old Rodney Davis Sr. Was also booked with two counts of violating an order of protection because when the cops first showed up, Brewster, they thought the woman that he shot was his wife. But it wasn't his wife. It was his girlfriend. His wife already had... had gone
She'd
to the
shot
police.
Him once before.
No, his wife already had an order of protection against him.
This guy can't catch a break.
When this story first broke, the story mistakenly identified the female victim as his wife. She called the newspaper to confirm, no, it wasn't me, the wife. It was his girlfriend. Whew. This happened this past Saturday night in Wagaman. According to the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office, deputies were dispatched over there after receiving reports of a disturbance. They arrived to find Davis's girlfriend suffering from a gunshot wound to her shoulder. The woman told deputies she and Davis had gone out together for the evening and began arguing. Wait, this guy's already got a wife that he's thrown to the side, and now he's got a girlfriend, ends up shooting her and shooting himself after this argument. So they started arguing after they returned home. During the argument, Davis grabbed the gun from the driver's side door panel of his vehicle. With the gun in his right hand, Davis draped his other arm around his girlfriend's shoulders and tried to convince her to come inside. The gun, quote-unquote, accidentally discharged in Davis's hand when their argument turned physical. Well, that'll happen when you're arguing with someone and you've got a gun in your hand and the argument turns physical.
I know what it is, too. She wanted to make him one of those pizzas with the cauliflower crust that everyone's doing, and before you know it...
I don't have the details of the argument, but the bullet...
I was maybe embellishing, maybe.
The bullet went through his left forearm before hitting his girlfriend in the shoulder. They were both taken to the hospital. They're going to be okay. I don't know about his marriage. But because he had a weapon, he was in violation of that order of protection I told you about.
Right.
And that was obtained by his wife a few months ago. Boy, oh boy. You know? And you think you had a bad night. This guy ends up, he shoots his girlfriend and shoots himself at the same time that he accidentally shoots his girlfriend.
Right.
And he still has an angry wife that he has to deal with.
The problem there, when he had the gun in one hand and he went to put his arm around his his girlfriend, he was, say it with me, he was moving back and to the left. Back and to the left.
Yeah, that's what it says in the police report. How about that? All right, coming up on the show. Boy, a guy that owned a bridal shop in Kenner got in trouble the other day. Did you see this story? You see what he did? Well, we'll tell you about it coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So I've always been a big fan of Chinese buffets. I love them. As a matter of fact, our band, the Ash Clowns, one of our first songs way back when was a song we called Chinese Buffet. You know, you go up 12 times, they don't care. Chinese buffet, if you bring back your old plate, they will stare. I've always loved Chinese buffets. And there's a couple.
I'm sorry.
In the New Orleans metropolitan region. Now, Brewster, you turned me on to one, the original one over on the West Bank that I wrote the song about.
Yes, Chopsticks.
But since then, I've fallen in love with another place in Metairie. East Buffet. And I know that they've had a couple of health code violations. As a matter of fact...
Oh, what's a couple?
Well, as a matter of fact, one of my friends, who I was there with a couple of weekends ago, just put it on my Facebook page saying that East Buffet in Metairie, they had the most health code violations, the most critical health code violations. And he put that on my Facebook page, and he said, damn it, not only did you bring me here, but sometimes being number one isn't a good thing. And I said, slow down, pal. I know why that place got that many critical health code violations. It's because the health inspectors went over there and they test the temperature of the food that's been sitting at the buffet for a long time. See, when I go to East Buffet and I bring my friends, we go early. So the food hasn't been sitting there that long. That's the difference. Hey, I've been there several times and I've never gotten sick once.
Hi, John Osterlin for East Buffet.
Yeah, that's
we'll
the just, way.
We'll put that right in the copy. I've been there several times, and I haven't gotten sick once.
Yeah, and that's true. And no, they're not paying me to say this.
Well, not now.
But a couple of friends along with me, we absolutely love this place, brought another friend over there for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and he just happened to put that on my Facebook page, and I had to defend. And one of my other friends said, I don't care about that. That food is so good over there that I would eat it off the floor. And who knows, with all the health code violations, maybe we have before.
You have another comment here that it says, they've gone so far downhill, it's criminal. See, that's not funny.
So, but I honestly believe that the place is clean. And the only reason it has so many critical health code violations.
Did you even read the story?
That's what I wanted to know. Of course
I did. No, you didn't.
Of course I did. No, when I saw my spot up there, right at the right on the local newspaper, right at the top of the restaurants that have the most critical health code violations. Because, Brewster, I care about cleanliness. But
here's John Osterlund reading about health code violations. He sees someone cut and paste the headline out of the publication and post it as a JPEG on Facebook. Now, you've done your homework this time, haven't you?
Well, that particular friend was mad because I brought him there a couple of weeks ago. We all went over there. And hey, we all walked out of there happy like we always do. Like I said, when you're going to any Chinese buffet, not just that one, but any Chinese buffet, make sure you get there early during their service. If you're going for lunch, you know, go at 11:30 in the morning. If you're going for dinner, you know, be like an older person. You know, go at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
How can you beat that?
Because you know that they just put that food, they just cooked that food, and it just got out to the buffet.
Morty, the key is no good.
Love that place.
Raincoats. You know who I saw last time I was in there? And it wasn't all that long
ago. Well, you and I ate there not that long ago.
No.
It was a while ago.
That was a long time ago.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago. It was last year. But in the last 3 months, I saw New Orleans native, the actor Brian Batt from Mad Men and other things.
He was at the Chinese buffet in Metairie?
Yes, he was.
See that? And you always give me crap. You say, hey, it's hard to get you out of New Orleans. It's hard to get you out of Orleans Parish. You see that?
No, it's hard to get me into Orleans Parish. I come in here and
no,
do,
I'm
do
saying
this
what you say about me.
Scurry right back home. Oh.
I went over there and I enjoyed that place.
Right. I don't want to out Brian Batt, but he was at the East Buffet in Metairie.
How about that? So that's something I've got in common with Brian Batt. We both like the East Buffet. Yeah. And you know, I don't like
and
this.
We'll leave it at that.
I don't like this yellow journalism. you know, hey, oh, they have the most critical health code violations. It's because they show up late, and that's when they start testing the temperature of the food in the buffet. That's why. You got to go there early. Take it from me. I've eaten there several times, and I've never gotten sick. And I think that should be a great tagline for a...
Say it again.
For a commercial place.
Say it again, in case the first two times didn't stick to the tape. Go ahead.
All right. And right down the street, I wanted to bring this up, too, since we're over there in that area. Right down Veterans, a couple of miles. This guy that owned a bridal, or he owns a bridal shop.
Are you going to trash another business in Jefferson Parish?
Well, no. The guy owns a bridal shop in Kenner. And he just got arrested because this 19-year-old customer went into his Kenner bridal shop. And she's 19, and she says, look, you know, I'm getting married. We need the dress. You know, we got the bridesmaids. We got all of this. So you know what the owner of the bridal shop does? And he's 62 years old, by the way. And the name of this place is called Q's Bridal Boutique. And it doesn't have one health code violation by the inspectors over there. But this 19...
Are you doing show prep with the phone book again?
This 19-year-old girl goes in there, goes into Q's Bridal Boutique. That's located inside the Esplanade Mall there in Kenner. She went in there on Saturday. He said, yeah, I can show you something, the 62-year-old owner, but you got to come in the back room. And that's when he fondled her, and then he tried kissing her. How disgusting is that for a 19-year-old girl that this 62-year-old owner of this... of this bridal shop. His name is Quirino Coelho. And he was arrested and he was accused of inappropriately touching the 19-year-old customer at his Kenner bridal shop. You know, you think you own a bridal shop. You're there to help the brides. You're there to help the bridesmaids. You're there. This is the biggest day of their lives. You're there to help make magic for these women, and you're telling her to come into the back room where you then grope her. No, just be careful, any brides to be. I'd be more careful about that bridal shop over there in the Esplanade Mall in Kenner, the Q's Bridal Boutique, than I would be concerned about the quality of the food at the East Buffet up the street there.
That's a good 10-mile separation between those two.
You're gonna do it.
The street.
But
you
know, it just it amazes me that this guy could be a respected business owner. You know, you're there to help brides and bridesmaids and things like that, and then a 19-year-old comes in asking, you know, she's giving you money. She's giving your business money, and this is what you do? You tell her to come into the back room where you then grope her? You know, it makes me wonder how long Q's Bridal Boutique has been open doing business in the Esplanade Mall in Kenner. When you got the owner now all of a sudden charged with sexual battery, according to the Kenner Police Department. Poor 19-year-old girl. Should be the happiest times of her lives. And I'm looking at this guy's mugshot. Ah, you disgusting old creep. Yeah, when the woman left the store, she threw all the clothes in the trash can. And that's when she reported the incident to the mall security officer. And hopefully she'll find a better bridal boutique that doesn't have animals in there working like that. So, anyways, that's that.
That's your Jefferson Parish business update on the Osterlin Morning Show.
Hey, I'm getting hungry all of a sudden. I love that place. I don't care what the health code inspectors say. It's Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So last night was night number one of the revamped Miss America pageant. We've talked about it on the show here, how they're revamping it by saying they're no longer going to have the swimsuit, and it doesn't matter what Miss America looks like. And Gretchen Carlson, who used to be on Fox News, and then she said that she was sexually assaulted and sexually harassed by some people over there at Fox News. They gave her $50 million to leave. She was Miss America. She was Miss Minnesota way back when. Now she's in charge. And when
she's in charge of the pageant?
Oh, yeah. She's in charge of Miss America.
Okay.
And we've talked about it on the show a couple of times. She's the one that says no more swimsuits. She's the one that says it doesn't matter what they look like. And there's a bunch of people, former Miss Americas, that want her out for doing this. They're saying she's this whole Miss America 2.0. They're saying it's ruining Miss America. And I agree. Brewster, to say it doesn't matter what Miss America looks like, if that's really how you feel, then conjoined twins could be Miss Americas. You could have dwarves Miss America. You could have someone who's obese be Miss America. If it doesn't matter what she looks like.
I don't think that's the point. I think the point is that how many people... Show of hands, how many people knew that Miss America was on last night, some random Wednesday night in September, when it used to be a big deal in the fall? It used to be on a Saturday night, live from Atlantic City.
Well, it was night number one of the revamped pageant.
Where are my crickets? I have crickets here somewhere. Crickets, crickets, crickets.
The newly swimsuit-free Miss America crowned its first two winners last night at the Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City, New Jersey, carrying on despite a conflict that has troubled the pageant for months. So last night, they had a revamped competition. It was the first of three nights of preliminary competition dubbed Miss America 2.0.
So it's not just one night anymore. Now they're stretching it out into...
I guess this is part of the new Miss America. Miss Florida won a $2,000 award for talent.
Is it still on the Rodeo Network? Because I can't find it when I go to look for it.
I don't know where it was on television.
No, join the club.
Miss Florida won a $2,000 award for her classical piano performance. So she won the talent competition. And Miss Wisconsin won a $1,000 award for her onstage interview. I guess she did the best onstage interview. Much like when we used to talk about the Miss South Carolina, when she talked about maps and how kids didn't have maps and they needed maps. This was back in the day. Obviously, I think Miss Wisconsin last night did just as good a job in the onstage interview, so she won
$1,000. $1,000.
Before the swimsuit competition was cut from the pageant in June, preliminary awards, like last night, went to talent and swimsuit. So instead of swimsuit, it went to talent and onstage interview. The onstage interview replaced the swimsuit.
Right. Here was the winning entry.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S.
Please make it stop.
Should help South Africa. No. And should help the Iraq and the Asian.
That video has been making the rounds on Facebook again. Some people are just discovering that video for the first time.
I think it's reached number one on iTunes again.
We've been playing that on our show for a long time, but that was the Miss, I believe, South Carolina. She ended up getting a pistachio commercial
exactly.
out of that. She was nuts.
It's not that hard to get one of those. But that was years ago. I mean, that was probably 5 years ago that she had that. I don't know if she still does anything with them.
But what's the point of Miss America if Gretchen Carlson, who is now in charge, says it doesn't matter what Miss America looks like? And by the way,
It doesn't because no one's watching. And if no one's going to watch one night, why would they watch three nights? I don't get it.
Well, the women I'm looking at, the pictures from last night, like Miss Wisconsin, she's tall and thin and has long red hair. I'm looking at another one, tall and thin and long blonde hair. So obviously it still kind of matters what they look like, because you could be throwing anybody out there. When Gretchen Carlson said it doesn't matter, not only are we getting rid of the swimsuit competition, it should be about the inside of the person, not the outside. It shouldn't matter what Miss America looks like. Really? Boy, because we've talked about it a few times on the show, and I remember the first time we talked about it, I said, if that's the case, it'll probably be moving from television to radio. I can't imagine Miss America, it doesn't matter what she looks like. That's the politically correct world, Brewster, we're living in now. And I've talked about it on the show recently. Political correctness, all it does is it's a way of stymieing the truth. When people are being politically correct, well, you can't say that because it's negative. Well, you can't. You know, we all know certain things, but we're just not allowed to say them because of political correctness.
Is that a band launch shirt?
Boy, oh boy. So I guess Miss America is going to continue. This is night one of the revamp pageant. Get set for nights two and three. Incredible.
I'm ready.
Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. Led Zeppelin there. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. I think if you spend time on Facebook, you probably have friends that every time they travel, they post everywhere they go, and they're always posting, hey, we're here, we're in this part of the world, we're in this part of the world, we're in that part of the world. Well, I just wanted...
Why are you looking right at me when you say that? You know, I'm sitting right here. I can hear everything you say. There are some of us who just like to, you know, I would never sit with scissors and paste and create an actual scrapbook, but I do consider myself somewhat of a chronicler. I like to chronicle my travels and my travails and my tribulations and my trials.
Well, the reason I brought this up is because the story that I'm about to tell you,
mm-hmm.
this guy was one of those people. And because he was, saved his life.
See?
How an emergency Facebook post and his global network of friends saved not only this American traveler, but his American travel partner as well. The guy's name is Mikey Lithcott. And he has friends all over the world. And it's because of the fact that he travels all over the world. And he's got a lot of Facebook friends, and he meets a lot of people from all over the world. And when he meets someone, they become his Facebook friend. Well, recently, he was in Indonesia. And he was on a scooter with his travel companion. And the scooter went off an embankment into a ravine. And after the crash, he couldn't really move. He thought he had broken his back. He was calling out the name of his travel companion, and for the first 2 minutes, didn't hear anything. And then finally, when Mikey Lithcott called out his travel companion's name, she said, yeah, she said, I can't move. I think I broke my back. So they're in Indonesia. They just crashed a scooter, and they're in the woods, and they can't move. He had a couple of phones on him. One of his phones went flying, and he couldn't get near it. And I think that was the local phone he was using. But he still had his American phone on him.
Yes, the one he lost was a burner, as we say in TV crime dramas.
Yeah, again, he said he thought he broke his back. He couldn't move. The woman who was on the scooter with him, he couldn't see her. He could hear her. They're in the woods. All he sees is the sky and trees. He's in Indonesia. And he says, quote, I think I'm going to die here. Because no one knew where he was. No one knew where he and his companion had their accident.
But you see, I've posted that on Facebook before, those exact words. I think I'm going to die here.
Yeah, he had been carrying a phone with a local SIM card, but it must have been thrown around somewhere in the crash. His American phone was still in his jacket and hadn't gone flying. He said, quote, I turned it on, international roaming, and just barely got a signal. You know what he did? He put out an SOS on Facebook, and then he waited. Now, we see a lot of ridiculousness on Facebook, but here is where Facebook saved his life. One of his Facebook friends said, quote, I saw Mikey's post just a minute or two after it went up. I work remotely and tend to have Facebook open while I work. I saw it and, of course, was startled and a bit surprised. I worried that he had been drugged or kidnapped or something. But no, it was just a scooter accident in Indonesia, and he's in the woods. Now these people became Facebook friends in 2004 in Seattle. That's where he lived before he moved to Brooklyn. But this is just how some people become Facebook friends. So she saw his SOS Facebook post. And she was the one that was able to then send out messages saying, find this guy. He's in this area. Think about that. You're an American. You're on a scooter. In Indonesia, you go off the road into the woods. You crash. You think you break your back. You can't move. All you see are trees in the sky. You're someplace you've never been before. The person that was riding on the back of your scooter is in the woods, too. You can't see her, but she thinks she broke her back, too, and you're stuck there. Luckily, he had his phone and was able to throw out an SOS message on Facebook. And it's so wild how this happened. He said that he didn't know where he was and that he woke up in the woods. He was very disoriented. And then she said, I asked him if he could send me a pin drop, which he did. Once he sent her the pin drop, she's in Seattle. He's in Indonesia. She's able to send that pin drop to different people. And then someone in Indonesia was able to go and find them in the woods. But it's an incredible story about how Facebook literally save these two people's lives.
Now, if we put James Franco as the lead in the movie, is that too much like the one where he 160 hours or whatever, where he fell and had to cut it in between the rock ravines? You saw that, right?
Yeah,
had to,
I know.
Had to cut his arm off.
That was rough.
Yeah, true story.
That was rough, but because of Facebook,
maybe Ryan Gosling can play the lead.
Hmm. An American just stuck in the woods after an accident in Indonesia, able to pin his location on Facebook after sending out a Facebook SOS message. Friends in Seattle, then Los Angeles, were able to get people from around the world to figure out where this guy was, and they saved his life. Because people waste so much time on Facebook.
Well, I was going to say, and meanwhile, last night, what did your friend post that he was having for dinner?
Exactly.
And he wants to know what everyone else is having.
That's usually how many people use Facebook, but here, it actually saved people's lives. And you should remember that when you're traveling, or hell, even if you go into some rough neighborhoods around New Orleans.
Right. I'm going to say, don't mess with me. I'll stick Facebook on you.
No, I think that's a story of hope. All right, coming up. Hey, who inside the Trump White House, who's the traitor? Who's the traitor that sent that op-ed, the anonymous op-ed message that the New York Times decided to run with?
Who's the mole? There's a mole in the White House.
Yeah, stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So, an anonymous person who says that he works for the president ended up writing an op-ed piece, gave it to the New York Times.
That rag.
And the New York Times, even though this was anonymous, the New York Times decided to run with it and print it. The New York Times say that they know who this person is, but they have decided not to reveal this person's name because it could cost them their job. Well, of course it's going to cost them their job. If someone says that they work in the Trump administration, that they work for the president, and writes a bunch of negative stuff anonymously and then sends it to a newspaper, duh, of course, if the president found out about it, that person would lose their job. This is, many people, including the president, think that this is treasonous. That someone could go unnamed saying that they work for the president. And again, we don't know who this person is. Now, we can guess. I mean, there's a list of, it could be 100, one of 100 people, maybe even more than that. But, you know, the lists that I'm seeing, guests from this list or guests from that list that are going around, all the people are the biggest names that work for Donald Trump, including the vice president, Mike Pence, because some people think that Mike Pence, he is so religious that how could this man, the anti-Trumpers say, how could this very religious man work with, respect and stand side by side with this guy who's been married how many times and has kids with how many different women, and now, you know what I mean? So Mike Pence has already come out and said, no, I did not write this. But the person, and look, if you listen to this show, you know I support President Donald Trump. I think he's gotten a lot of good things done as president. I mean, I also think that he's said some crazy stuff. But this op-ed piece by an anonymous person who supposedly works for him, run by the New York Times, is titled, I Am Part of the Resistance Inside the Trump Administration. And the person writes that his biggest problem is that he's amoral. And that, you know, when he says things that conservatives like, he says them because they're scripted. But he really doesn't have any firm beliefs on one side of the political aisle or the other. And they say that, and this person is saying that he's amoral. And this person also says, again, this is anonymous, that, look, to be clear, ours is not the popular resistance that you see on the political left. We want the administration to succeed and think that many of its policies have already made America safer and more prosperous. But we believe our first duty to this country and the president continues to act in a manner that is detrimental to the health of our republic. And that's when they call them amoral. Who do you think? Some people are saying this could even be his wife, Melania, because she's been humiliated by him how many times in his year and a half as president with the different women, whether it's Stormy Daniels or whether it's the Playboy woman.
I think it's unlikely to be Melania herself, but it could be someone on her staff.
Yeah, I don't think it's her either. A couple of his military men who he has high up, their names have come up. Like his chief of staff, John Kelly. He was a military man. I can't imagine him turning on his leader like that. Most guys that rise through the ranks in the military, our American military, they're loyal as hell. They might not agree with everything that he says, but there's no way they would write an op-ed to the New York Times. You know, another military man is his Secretary of Defense, James Mad Dog Mattis. His name is on the list. Some people think it's him, and I'm going to say the same thing. No way. No way. Not when you rise in the military, in the American military, you would never turn on your commander-in-chief. You could question him. You know, there are things you could say, but there's no way you would write an anonymous op-ed to be published in the New York Times. So I'm ruling out those two. Some say it's Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who has bashed with President Donald Trump from pretty much day one. Jeff Sessions hasn't gotten very much done as the attorney general because the Russia investigation that has been dogging Donald Trump since he first became president, Jeff Sessions recused himself from having anything to do with that. So he can't protect his boss there. And Donald Trump has said several negative things about Jeff Sessions. So some people think it might be him. But it could be people that you have never heard of before. They're just throwing out the biggest names that are in the Trump White House and that are in his inner circle. But I'll be honest with you, I think this is treasonous. Someone who says that they work for the president. Someone that says that they're in the president's inner circle and then writing an op-ed piece saying, here's the problems that I have with the president. Even though he's done, you know, many good things, you know, here are the bad things. Come on, I think it's gutless to be anonymous like that. It's absolutely sackless. If you had any morals or if you had any guts, you would say, well, look, I don't care. I'll get another job after this. I don't care if this costs me my job. I work in Trump's White House. I'm writing this op-ed piece. Here you go, New York Times. But the person didn't do that. So how much should you really believe? Coming up next, it's our commercial-free ride, and we got other things we got to get to.
Like giving away a pair of Saints tickets between now and 10 o'clock.
And that's for this Sunday's game.
Yep.
Stay tuned. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans.
Happy birthday
to the visionary of Pink Floyd, Roger Waters.
Yeah. So, hey, we've got these all year, too. This is pretty exciting.
We're told we have tickets to give away for each and every Saints home game this season.
Yeah.
And we'll start that right now.
Let's do it now. If you want to go see the Saints this Sunday, they're playing at home, obviously. Be our ninth caller right now at 260-9595. If you are, you're in like my buddy Jimmy Flynn.
You must be a legal resident of Louisiana or Mississippi, and you must be the person who comes to pick up the tickets.
Yeah, good luck getting through and getting scoring those. Congratulations to Brad in Destrehan. Brad was just caller 9, and he scored himself a pair of tickets for this Sunday Saints game.
And if you didn't win, we're going to have them for every Saints home game this year. We'll be giving them away on the show. So that's pretty cool. I'm so excited. And I know that there's one thing that stinks, and it's still the some of the players. And at this point, it's flat out the NFL versus Donald Trump, because that's what them kneeling during the national anthem is all about at this point. And it kind of stinks.
Go to hell.
That dark cloud is hanging over the NFL. But boy, this is my favorite time of year. I love college football. I love the NFL, pro football.
In my opinion, the NFL has to go to hell.
And tonight it all starts with the dreaded Atlanta Falcons up in Philadelphia against the defending champions, the defending world champions, the Philadelphia Eagles.
I just can't get the broadcast crews straight. It's Thursday Night Football, but no, that's not them. Is it? Yeah, it's these guys. It'll be Al and Chris.
Does it matter what channel they're on? Every channel's NFL theme song rules. Every channel's song is... You don't think when you hear any one of these songs, it doesn't make you want to just get off the couch and go run into the wall?
Maybe this one. The old Monday Night Football theme has its own special gravitas. Possibly, I think, written by Ed Kalehoff, who total nerds like me would remember as the writer of not only the theme, but all of the cue music used on The Price is Right. I believe Ed Kalehoff wrote this.
I hear any one of these network NFL theme songs, it makes me want to jump over the couch.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.